From Studio 22, you're listening to Servcast with your hosts William Lamb and Tyler Shores. Servcast is dedicated to challenging those who have a desire to serve, lead, and make the world a better place through the love of Jesus Christ. And now, here's William and Tyler.
William Lamb, Studio 22, Lee University Leonard Center in Cleveland, Tennessee. You're going to find us here each week with our friend and co-host Tyler Shores. Hey, hello, Tyler.
How's it going? It's been a long time coming. I mean, I'm really excited that we're here today. I mean, I can't believe this is actually happening. We're recording our first podcast together.
And we're going to call it Servcast.
We are. We are going to call it Servcast because we're going to bring you opportunities, talk about opportunities for you to serve. We're going to talk about ways in which Christian service can change the world. And we're really going to get into, I'm blanking right now.
That's okay. You blank on a regular basis,
Tyler. I do
blank
quite a bit.
And so, yeah, I mean, you're going to talk about students and students at Lee University that serve, and we're going to talk about heroes that we call heroes. As a matter of fact, we have a couple of heroes that are going to join us in just a minute, and we're going to talk about an experience that we had on Sunday, which we call Deek Day. And Sunday was what, Tyler?
Sunday was actually National Senior Citizens Day.
Wow.
What a way to celebrate it, right?
Exactly. So we're going to take a brief break, and we're going to be right back with Dr. Jimmy Harper, who's a campus pastor at Lee University, and Dr. Carolyn Dirksen, who is also all things at Lee University, and you'll learn more about her in just a little bit. So see you soon, or talk to you soon. You got it. See, I'm nervous too.
You're listening to Servcast coming from Studio 22 at Lee University, and I'm here with Dr. Lamb, who's the host of this wonderful podcast, and I'm Tyler, the co-host who gets to talk every once in a while.
Hey, Tyler gets to talk, you know, but actually I work with him every day, so he talks on a regular basis, and you'll hear more from Tyler in just a little bit, but right now I want you to meet two of our guests, Dr. Carolyn Dirksen. She has been a past vice president at Lee University, and now we call her, faculty coach. She leads our Center for Teaching Excellence here at Lee University, and the longest standing, active, alive, and present Lee University professor on our campus. Welcome, Dr. Dirksen.
Thank you. Not to be confused with the oldest.
This is true. Very true. I better shift now to Pastor Jimmy Harper, who is actually a professor at Lee and our campus pastor. Welcome, Jimmy.
It's good to be here.
We're glad you guys are with us at Servcast today. Hey, let me talk about this idea that we call Deek Day. On Sunday, we did something that we have been doing now for 14 years. And the reason I invited Pastor Harper, I call him Pastor Harper, but Pastor Harper and Dr. Dirksen is because they were part of the original launch or the inaugural launch of this thing in 2003. So let me kind of give you an update on what happened since then. In 2003, we launched this thing we call Deek Day, and we'll unpack that in just a few minutes. And it's kind of a call to serve where every one of our students. Now, Tyler, you know we have a service learning requirement here at Lee University, right?
Yeah, we do.
What does that look like?
We do. So throughout their time here at Lee, students will complete 80 hours of service learning.
And this is the very first experience that they get to have when they come to Lee University.
Yeah, it's really like a baptism into service learning, if you will.
Yeah. Good point. In the first baptism, Tyler, we had 521 students participate. Sunday, we had 1,081 students.
Oh, my.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Now, Dr. Dirksen,
that's amazing.
You stood at the very first one, and I remember watching you as you stood on the sidewalk, and we went to 32 facilities that day. Talk to us about the impact you have seen and what difference this has made for the academy and the people that get to participate in what we call Deek Day.
Okay, let's go back a little bit before that first pulling out of the buses. When you came into my office and said, I have this great idea, I think that we should take all our first-year students to a nursing home on their first day. I was like, okay, William, now let's think about this. You're going to take all the first-year students, they're coming here, they're 18 years old, it's your second day on campus, they haven't even gone to class yet, you're going to put them on a school bus and take them all over the county, and they're going to go to retirement homes. Is that the concept? I was thinking, how could this be a good thing? It just seemed like they're going to be so nervous, and they haven't moved into the dorm yet, and their parents are still here, and how is this going to be a good thing? But you were able to sort of talk me through it and sort of get the idea of how this might work, and I'll have to admit that on that first day, watching them so nervously get on those buses and head off, I thought, this is either going to be wonderful or it's going to be the biggest disaster we have ever created. And so, as you said, I came back when I didn't go because I didn't have a gateway class. So, but I came back and watched them get off the buses when they came back for the debrief and just breathed a huge sigh of relief because they were all talking to each other and sharing cell phone numbers and sharing dorm information, and they had really bonded with each other. And, of course, at that point, I didn't know what had gone on or how effective the work was in the nursing homes, but I breathed a huge sigh of relief that they all came back and they didn't seem to be completely freaked out. Mm-hmm. Nobody was headed for the dorm to get their suitcase and go home searching for their parents. So I think it's had a huge, huge impact on the campus, on the on the whole way that we look at service. And this was at the very beginning of the implementation of the service learning requirement, and it was kind of the big launch of this whole idea. And we had done the technical work of working this, weaving this into the curriculum by way of the curriculum committee and getting all the approvals. But this was the first time that we were really putting kids in these places. And we've always done service learning at Lee from the beginning because it's a Christian institution that's kind of a natural thing. Mm-hmm. But we hadn't ever organized it in this way. And we had never had a giant, huge one big effort like this, which made it so public and made it so put it out there. And after it happened, I think it had a huge, huge impact. And of course, it's been rolling along for all these years since then, getting bigger and bigger, rolling in the transfer students and developing something for them. And I think it's been, I think it's had a big impact on students. And I think that the idea of getting them on that bus really before they've completely unpacked their bath mats, lets them know, no, this is priority for us. This is what you do first. First you serve, and then you go to class, and then you serve again. And it's woven throughout your curriculum. But this big event, this big day, this big launch, this is about service, and we're going to do this before we do anything else. I think that's made a huge impression on them. And again, that was the part that really scared me, but it was the part that was very well worth the risk. And I think it marks the path that we want them to take. And I think it's also been huge for faculty because they go out with them again on this venture, and nobody really knows. Even after all these years, we don't really know what it's going to be like when we get there. The situations we go into are always changing. So the faculty have to have the willingness to take a risk. But that being on the edge like that with students is what makes you really bond with them. It's what makes you human to them and what makes them human to you. So you know each other. In those few hours, you can learn to know students much better than you can hour after hour in class. Because you're all kind of out of your comfort zone, and that's where I think real learning takes place.
I remember the morning after that first deep day at 5:23 a.m., I think it was, because your name was on the email that I received as well from Dr. Kahn. And he talked about the experience of deep day and how that, and he kind of compared it to when Lee started the study abroad into Cambridge. And he talked about the impact that deep day has had on the landscape of the university. And we have enjoyed that for 14 years. Pastor Jimmy, you have every deep day for the last 14 years. You have ended the rally with a prayer. Talk to us about the spiritual impact, and you know, Lee University's got a rich heritage of putting service learning and benevolence and Christian service, and you know, Tyler and I will unpack that later on in future episodes when we have special guests here. But talk to us about this whole idea of the spiritual importance and the value for students doing this. But also, your faculty members, you have been on these trips. You've led these trips yourself. Speak to that for us if you can.
Well, you know, one of the things that we do at Lee is we have this concept of if we believe in it, we require it. So obviously, with service learning being a requirement, it's a little easier to facilitate. But in terms of how we view this through our faith and through our spiritual lenses, we don't always get that. It's not always, well, as a Christian, we're going to require that you do service. But I love the way it's weaved into the fabric here at Lee, because I think it's important for us as individuals, faculty members, staff members at Lee, to set things in motion and to go with our students and to say, you're serving because it's a requirement, but we're with you because it's important. And I think that we make a statement by joining with them. Yeah, let it be said that I have prayed at least once every year in the last 14.
Maybe a That's little good more being than, a pastor.
Yes, yes, yes. Maybe a little more than that, but at least once in the last 14 years, once for a year.
Yeah.
But that's a joy for me because I try to include in that prayer a statement that this is a spiritual experience. Mm-hmm. We always talk about being holistic in our educational approach here at Lee. We want to address the academic sector. Obviously, they come to class. That's important. But we want to look at the social side of things, the spiritual side of things. And all of those things for us here at Lee seem to blend together. And I think the spiritual experience of looking somebody that you don't know in the eye and saying fun things, good things, painting their fingernails, giving them fist bumps while they're playing bingo like I did just yesterday. Mm-hmm. Those things are extremely important. And they're not just, as I shared with my students in the debriefing session afterwards, they're not just things that we want you to do. Mm-hmm. These are spiritual experiences that dig deeply into the emotions and into the passion of those of us who are involved in such things. It gives us the real ability to say, I'm making an impact. Mm-hmm. I'm making a difference. You know, Jesus in his life modeled service. I can't help but think about the time that Jesus was there with the disciples and there was a large crowd gathered and only one little boy brought lunch. And he brought 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus was concerned enough for the people who were with him listening to his teaching that he wanted to feed them. Now, he didn't have to do that. He could have sent them home. He could have done any number of things. But he thought enough about serving them that he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes from this one little boy, and he broke it, he gave thanks, and he gave it to the disciples to distribute to the people. He was concerned about their spiritual needs, yes, in the teaching, but he was concerned about their physical needs. And it's important for us to understand that part of our spiritual responsibility is that we're concerned about people in their life with their physical needs, with where they live, with their daily activities. It's not just enough for us to say we love Jesus if we can't love our neighbor. And I think this opportunity, Dr. Dirksen, I would agree with you. I've been around William when he's had a lot of crazy ideas, and this was indeed a crazy one. But some of his crazy ideas have worked, and I think this is one that has been a huge benefit to Lee, to our students, to our staff, but more than that, to the kingdom of God, because this act of service that we do and get students started with is a huge, deeply spiritual activity. Paul says in Romans 12, he says that we should present our bodies a living sacrifice. And that doesn't just mean when we lift our hands in church or when we say amen to a sermon topic. It means that we present ourselves for whatever God has for us.
Great.
I think it's important.
So if you're a Lee student listening to this, we're going to have plenty of opportunities for you to serve down the road. Dr. Dirksen, just kind of wrap us up, if you can, on maybe some of the other options that you're aware of that students can serve with other classes and some of the kind of best practices or great ideas that you know that service is also, beyond the D-Day experience, involved in their entire four-year academic journey.
Oh, we have some wonderful ongoing programs. The capstone class in the School of Music they teach music lessons to students who wouldn't be able to afford them otherwise. And the vocal pedagogy class does the same thing. And then they have a big recital at the end. It's a big opportunity for students who wouldn't be able to pay for private voice coach or whatever. And then we have Donna Summerlin's English class does a wonderful project where they work with students in the public schools, and they come in and they actually work side by side with them, and they create a poster session, and then they present their poster session. And then, of course, we have a lot of kids who do work with the disadvantaged and cross-cultural kinds of work that's really also really very impressive. We have a lot of new programs that are coming in, being developed this year as well, and a lot of people are helping us work with the orphanage in Liberia, developing materials for that and working on the library there.
Great. Hey, you're going to hear more about this in the days ahead. Pastor Jimmy, thank you. Dr. Dirksen, thank you very much. Hey, Tyler, get ready. Guess what?
What's that?
You get to talk about your deep day experience. Tyler is a master's level student at Lee University, full-time employed, but actually went through the undergraduate program here. And you're going to get to talk about your deep day experience with a few students after the break. This is Studio 22. We'll be right back.
Servcast Round 2. We just heard from our campus pastor, Dr. Jimmy Harper, and the esteemed Dr. Carolyn Dirksen. And now we're here. We're about to hear from some students who recently have experienced Deep Day. And to introduce those is the good Dr. William Lamb.
Thank you, Tyler. I see you found some more words, man.
Oh, dude, so many words. So many words.
It's a great day. Hey, we've got with us today, Mallory Wickham is here in the room.
And, hi. Good to be here. I'm from Cleveland, Tennessee, and I'm a peer leader, which means that I took a group of about 25 kids over to Life Care for Deke Day. It was great. I experienced it as a student last year, and now I get to be kind of on the other side of that, leading students.
Taylor Cooper from Miami,
Florida. Hi, guys. I'm a freshman, so it was my first time experiencing Deke Day, and it was pretty amazing, so I'm really excited to talk about it.
And the third student we have in the room is Abby Price. Abby?
Hello, I'm from Memphis, Tennessee, and like Mallory, I'm also a peer leader here at Lee, so I also got to spend time with the freshmen yesterday in serving. Yeah.
In the previous segment, we heard from Dr. Dirksen talk about the very inaugural launch of Deep Day, which was 14 years ago, and that day we had 521 students. This year at D-Day, we had 1,081 students. That's a lot of people, a lot of buses. You saw all of that.
Yeah, a lot of them.
So many.
Pastor Jimmy talked about the spiritual impact and what does it look like. So I'm interested in hearing from you guys. What was D-Day like for you? And just kind of paint us a picture so that the people who are listening to this can see what impact they also can make in the world.
Yeah, well, I've always known, I've always liked to serve, and I've always, like, enjoyed going to nursing homes and going and serving elderly people. Like, I'm a history major. I love it. And so, like, I understand, like, the value of stories and, like, what they contribute to the kingdom. And often, the people at these nursing homes, these residents, often feel like their stories aren't relevant anymore. They often feel like they don't have a story to tell that matters anymore. So, what I really enjoy doing and what we get to do is make sure they know that their stories are worth something, that we want to hear those. And being on the freshman side of it last year, I think it really ignited that passion for it. And being serving with my new Gateway class, I think such a great way to bond. Like, what better than to do service for the kingdom, to get to know one another. Being on the other side of it this year, I think it was just realizing that I set the tone for my students, really going into it with a good attitude and going into it with a loving attitude. And I think I got the chance to maybe, like, kind of step back and see how my students, like, loved it and how they got to interact with the elderly there. And so, like, it was just so refreshing to be able to see them, like, that passion transferred onto them.
Now, Taylor, this was your first experience with Deke Day. Deke Day?
What is it
called, Tyler?
Deke?
What does Deke mean, Tyler?
So, Deke, if I'm a little rusty on my Greek.
If you don't get it, I'll help you, Tyler.
Okay, so I believe the verb that we're pulling from here is diakonio, which, you know, who knows how they really said it? It's Koine Greek. Yeah. It's a dead language, but hey, it's the Bible, right?
Yeah.
So you thought King James had it right? No. The Greeks had it right.
That's right.
And so what we have done there, because we're really pithy here at Lee's, we've just kind of shortened that down and Deke Day. So we go Deke. We serve.
I'll tell you a little trivia. I was in the room when the word Deke, as we coined the phrase at Lee University, and quite frankly, it sounded better than Geek Day. And we didn't think any of you students would wear a shirt that said Geek Day. So we, Taylor, it's Deke Day that we're talking about. And when I walked into the facility that you were at, on Sunday, I looked at this exchange going on between you and this elderly resident who obviously wasn't able to carry on a conversation like you normally get on a daily basis. Can you just kind of tell me what was going on when I saw you two together?
Well, I'd been to a nursing home before, but I didn't interact with anyone. So going there, I wasn't sure what to expect. And I met this lovely lady named Betty. And she was just so talkative, and she was telling me all these different stories, how she went into the pool 2 days ago, and she got her shoes. And after a couple of minutes, I kind of realized that she wasn't, like, in the present. But she was just having such a nice time telling me all her different stories, telling me about how she had 2 sons, and they were the sweetest things, and about 10 kids, and mom and dad were such nice people, and I just decided to sit there and talk with her and see where she went.
You know, human touch is an amazing thing. And when I watched, or just actually walked up and saw you, and you were holding this lady's hand and she was holding your hand, and obviously she wanted to carry on a conversation with me at that point, at that moment, but she never let go of your hand.
Yeah.
That was awesome. What do you think, Abby? You've done this twice now.
I have. It was very interesting coming back as a peer leader because I was on the other side of it. So, yes, I was there for myself, but I also got to see my students and how they interacted with everybody. So an experience I had this time was I was walking back, and I was talking with this man named Clay, and he said, "Hey, do you want to come and see this quilt I made?" I'm like, "Yeah, I want to go see your quilt." So I brought another freshman with me who wasn't in my group, but I said, "Hey, follow me. We're going to go look at this man's quilt." So we walked into that room, and he kind of, what I didn't know is I had already been in that room because I had been with his brother a moment before. So we went in, and he just immediately goes to all these pictures he had set up and just shows us all of these pictures, and he's pointing to everybody, telling us who they are, how much he loves them, how proud he is of them, and it's just telling us all these stories. And you can just sitting there talking with him, you can see the joy in his eyes and how proud he is of his family and all this. And then he goes to the drawer and he pulls out 2 quilts that he's been making. One was his and one was actually his mother's, who I believe is actually in the home as well. So they would sit and make these together, and he gave them to me and I got to touch them. And it's just amazing to see how proud he was of what he had made. And just, it was amazing that we were able to take the time to sit with them and just look at what he had made.
I remember when I walked up to his room, you just kind of, you know, invited me to look toward him and to see what he was doing. He was walking rapidly around the room, and he was so excited to show his quilts to you.
He was.
And Abby, I want to say thank you because I've been doing this for 14 years, and every time we do a Deke Day, I get to experience it from a different perspective. I wasn't the student who went on a trip. I'm the old guy in the room. Of course, my staff hates it when I say that, but it's true. And I'm the guy who had a dream one day to do this, and you guys get to make this dream happen. And so when I walked into that experience and I got to see that, you were more interested in that man than you were anything else, than anybody else in the room. And you were very intentional. And I remember specifically when he brought the quilt over, he wasn't quick to let me touch it because I had just walked up. I wasn't in the relationship level you were in, but he offered for you, you know, and I want to say thank you because I have met, I guess at this stage now, Tyler, and you're one of those students that now works with us, but I've met probably thousands of students and hundreds I know from personal exchanges with them and experiences that you really care about people. What makes your generation caring when there's so much craziness going on in the world? Why are you doing what you're doing?
I think personally that our generation's caring because we're starting to realize just how bad it's getting. Up until this point, we've kind of been in a fantasized little kid zone, and now we know that it's our responsibility to make that change, and we're trying to hike up our boots and do that.
I also think it's kind of something with Deke Day is that it's so hands-on, so I think when we are hands-on and we're there in person, it's so personal, so it's hard to not care. So once you have an experience like that, it makes you want to do it over and over and over again.
And I think that's something that Jesus emphasizes the most. It's just loving, getting, like, your bootstraps on, like she was saying, and caring like he did and giving his vision. And I think that's something so important about Deke Day and about, like, the leadership here in this is that we get – that's the first time that the students get to see the heart that Lee University has for service and, like, why we require it and why we put so much value on it. And they get to see that firsthand, like, the first weekend that they're here. And I think that's so important. Yeah.
Yeah, so my first Deke Day was so many years ago, and to be honest, like, freshman me was not excited about it. I just had this...
Really? I cannot believe this.
I was just like, man, I just don't want... I'm getting up on a Sunday. I'm missing church. Like, what kind of Christian thing causes you to miss church on a Sunday? But what I've come to see from these both experiencing it... Two fun facts about my Deke Day. One, we heard from Dr. Harper earlier. I was in his class. Yeah. So in 2009, I was doing Deke Day with Dr. Harper. And the second fun fact, I met my best friend that day. He didn't live in the facility we visited, but he was in my class, and we've been best friends ever since. But, like, what I've seen from this is, like, it embodies so much of what we believe about service and what we think it should mean to Christians. Mm-hmm. And so really, like, I would just go back to you and say, like, as what do you think it means for this to be the first, one of the first experiences you have at Lee University?
It was very special to me when I was a freshman that, I mean, you come to Lee and you know all about this service, you have to get so many hours, but to come here and see that played out right away, mm-hmm. and to see the hearts of the peer leaders, the professors, and all of the work that goes into this, it meant so much, and I've carried that with me. Like, as a peer leader this year, I remember my experience and knowing what it means to these freshmen coming in and teaching them right away that service is a big part of being at
Lee. Yeah, and the leadership is down in doing that with you, and that's something that they value for themselves personally.
So it's not something they're just saying.
Yeah, it's an example, and I think that's absolutely important, absolutely crucial.
I agree. I think the example was also really special, because we went there, and I thought that it was going to be just the students going around and interacting, and then I saw everybody else, and I'm like, oh, wow, they're actually serious about this.
Yeah.
So that was really special to see.
And something that we've kind of had come up recently in the last few years here is, like, these programs of kind of, like, spin-off from Deke Day. So I'm thinking of two in particular, one, Mallory, you're involved with, where we have one group on campus called Adopt a Grandparent, and based on a Deke Day experience, a leader took initiative and started a club where they continue doing this kind of thing, where they visit these facilities, and they basically, like, take on one of the residents as their grandparent. And so many people, like, I listen to the students who are in that organization, and they talk about how they not only have the outlet to pour into the lives of others, but they also receive something from that relationship. And right. Mallory, you're involved in a very similar kind of thing, where there's a facility similar to the ones we visit on Deke Day that's literally right behind our campus.
Yeah, right behind the Humanities Building.
Yeah, so tell
right
us a little
where
bit,
I have my classes.
Tell us a little bit about the work you do with the group over at this facility.
Yeah, so, yeah, the North Cleveland Towers, I got involved as a part of the Student Leadership Council here. I joined at the beginning of my freshman year last year, and my committee, my subcommittee that I was on, that's our service project, and so I just started going, and I'm like, wow, we make people's lives a little bit easier, maybe just for one day, maybe it's just a few groceries, but we can bring some food over from the food bank, and we can give that to them with a smile. They can come through and get it, and we can pray over them, and we can pray over that food that they take, and just serve love on them. And I've seen that, like, twice a week, every week for my whole freshman year. And how has that defined my freshman year? Man, being able to go there after classes, and maybe, like, I was feeling sad that day, but going there and getting poured into by them and having that reciprocated is absolutely defining of my freshman year and defining of where I want to go into service in the next few years, I think.
So, Abby and Taylor, kind of in the same vein, like, we've talked about what Deke Day means for this campus and even what it's mean for you. So, how with you as a peer leader and continuing in your time at Lee, Abby and Taylor, with your time as a freshman, like, how do you keep that spirit of Deke Day alive? Like, what, I guess, where do you go from here?
I think it's honestly getting involved and making service not just something we do when it's forced upon us in a way, but just every day finding some way to serve. And it doesn't always have to be going out and giving food, but it can be right here in the community, like helping somebody with classes, like just, I don't know, genuinely loving people and devoting your time to them, serving them in whatever way you can, and just making that a part of your life to where it's just second nature from then on.
I think for me personally, I didn't even want to leave when we were told to wrap it up.
Absolutely.
I did run to the restroom after we sang, and someone stole Betty from me, and I was like,
"Oh no!" I like how she said that, man. Like Betty is her friend now. So you know, you stole my friend from her.
I was awesome. Like, "No, Betty." I kind of went with it, and I went and talked to some other people, and I didn't want to go. Like, we were told, "Oh, we're gonna wrap it up now," and I was like, "So soon? It's only
goes
been
by so fast,
a couple minutes." So I know that I enjoy it, which would make keeping it alive even easier. I just have to make the conscious effort.
Mm-hmm. I'm always encouraged when I get to listen to students who take these experiences so personal and so real. Now, you got to understand something. I sit in this desk, not in the desk. I sit at the desk on a regular basis, and I don't guess I've ever sat in the desk.
Just curl up right in the
maybe I have
right
sat
here.
Under the desk before, but not in the desk, right, Tyler?
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, sometimes I have to listen to students who, like Tyler, didn't grow out of their, unlike Tyler, they did not grow out of their dislike for the service experience.
Wow.
And so, you know, they just, they're done. They don't want to do this anymore. And I have to listen to them. And years ago, we heard a phrase that just locked in with me somehow. And it said, it's more than meeting requirements.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's meeting needs. And then I get a chance to teach here at Lee. And I tell students on a regular basis, you know, that you're responsible for what you know. So, Taylor, you're a freshman. You're on the beginning of your journey. Good news for you. You're responsible now for what you know. Now, you can't help all the Bettys in the world. But the Bettys on this campus and the Bettys in the days ahead that you get to connect with, some may be young, some may be old, some may be rich, some may be poor, all different types of people. I want to challenge you, and obviously we've been challenging these other girls for a long time, to keep this alive by sharing your story with your friends, sharing the impact moments that have been transformational for you, because I'm convinced that there are literally thousands of those moments that I don't even hear about.
Absolutely.
That I'll never know about, but yet somebody's life was changed because of an idea that worked. So I want you to unlock those ideas in the days ahead and challenge your peers and your friends to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Cool?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Of course.
Hey, ladies, thanks for joining us. We are at ServCast, Studio 22, Lee University campus. In just a moment, we're going to be back, Tyler, and we're going to give you a challenge and encourage you to make a difference in the world. And so thank you for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
We're back with ServCast, coming to you live from Studio 22, and man, we just heard some incredible stories from some of our students of different ages, and I tell you, when I hear like the stories and the perspective of these students, like what they've taken from Deek Days, our topic today, like the future is bright. It is really bright when you get to interact with students, especially here at Lee, who care so much about the Lord and who want to put their faith into practice for others, and it was just such an honor to have them with us. And now we're here. We're going to wrap up with stories from Will with Dr. Lambs.
I like that. Stories from Will. Sounds good, Tyler. I do have a lot of stories, and one of my, I don't know if it's a favorite story, but probably one of the stories that impacted me the most over the years with Deek Day was the third Deek Day that we ever participated in. Lee University has a large international population. I would say it's a large for some institutions, and we welcome international students. We love them being on our campus. They're part of who we are, and we wouldn't be complete without them. And in this particular Deek Day, we had a small group of maybe, I don't know, I think maybe six or seven, maybe as many as eight Nigerian students that participated in this experience, and they were actually on a trip with Dr. Suzanne Hammond and myself, and actually she's married now, so it's Suzanne Holt. But the cool thing is that when we were in this facility, one of the people that worked there ran to us and said, hey, we've got this lady that we need to introduce these Nigerian students to. And so we went down the hall, and I remember when I walked in this room, This frail, weak, probably, I don't know, less than 100 pounds, 97-year-old lady with snow-white hair was laying in this bed, and she had a few family members around her. And when we walked in the room, and the students immediately didn't know how to respond, and of course I'm typically not shy, and you know I'm not going to allow people around me to be shy either. So I just kind of invited those students, or better yet, just kind of brought them to the bed. And when they stood next to this lady, and they began to talk, she began to respond, and she would force herself to kind of raise up and look towards these students. And what I didn't know was her side of the story. And so when this exchange occurred between these students, they were talking, and from their physical characteristics and from their conversation and from their the accent in their voices, this elderly resident in this facility was able to tell them not just where they were from, but which particular tribe in their nation they were from. It was amazing, Tyler. And what we found out was, is this elderly lady had been a missionary for 47 years in this country. She had spent 47 years of her life in this particular country where these Lee students who had just arrived from Nigeria had been on our campus about 72 hours, maybe less, herded into a bus like we do on a normal basis, put a t-shirt on them, and drove them down to this facility. It was culture shock. But yet they found a home within that facility where this lady would look at them and say to them, I know who you are just by listening to you. And the students would respond back to her. And they said, we read about you in our school books. And the president of our tribe is a believer today. And I thought this elderly lady in this facility was going to take the roof off, man. She got so excited. And you know what I discovered, Tyler? That those missionaries, those students came to us, and God sent a missionary to them in this country. And she was able to tell them who they were, but they were able to say to her, because of you, I'm better. You know what, guys? ServeCast is really based in Jude 22, and some have compassion making a difference. So if you're listening today, you're made for more. Don't settle for what everybody else wants from you. Do what God's called you to do, and that's to be a light and a hope and an instrument of peace in this world. Hey, we're coming back, right, Tyler? ServeCast, Studio 22. Anything you want to say?
Hey, thanks so much for listening to this inaugural episode here. We have a great lineup. I'm really excited about what's to come. So hang in there with us. Got some great things coming down the road, some stuff you're really going to like.
That's it for this episode. Can't wait to talk to you next time. We'll see you on ServeCast. That's not good. Do it over.
No, that's good.
No, I said that's not good. Do it over.
That's perfect.
I don't think so.
Okay, do it again. Go.
That's it for this episode of ServeCast. Listen for us next time. Going to have a lot of fun.
Does that feel better?
I don't know. It's up to you.
That one felt creepy.
What do you want to say? Yeah, that is creepy. What am I saying again, Rob?
Just, hey, that's it for this episode of ServeCast. We'll see you next time.
See you or hear you or talk to you?
Yeah, this one.
Yeah.
You're
going to
see him.
Yeah. Tune in next time.
That's right. That's good.
Thank you for listening to this episode of ServeCast. The thoughts and opinions expressed on ServeCast are those of William Lamb, Tyler Shores, their guest, and no one else. Until next time, this is ServeCast, signing off from Studio 22.